During the 1990s, violent crime declined across the United States for a number of fairly obvious reasons. The illegal trade in crack cocaine, which had spawned a great deal of violence among gangs and drug dealers, began to decline. The economy's dramatic recovery meant that many people who might have been lured into crime got legitimate jobs instead, and the aging of the baby boom population meant that there were fewer people in the age range, males between 18 and 24, that is responsible for the majority of all violence. The question of why crime declined in New York City, however, is a little more complicated. In the period when the New York crime epidemic tipped down, the city's economy hadn't improved. It was still stagnant. In fact, the city's poorest neighborhoods had just been hit hard by the welfare cuts of the early 1990s. The waning of the crack cocaine epidemic in New York was clearly a factor, but then again, it had been in steady decline well before crime dipped. As for the aging of the population, because of the heavy immigration to New York in the 1980s, the city was getting younger in the 1990s, not older. In any case, all of these trends are long-term changes that one could expect to have gradual effects. In New York, the decline was anything but gradual. Something else clearly played a role in reversing New York's crime epidemic. The most intriguing candidate for that something else is called the broken windows theory. Broken windows was the brainchild of the criminologists James Q. Wilson and George Kelling. Wilson and Kelling argued that crime is the inevitable result of disorder. If a window is broken and left unrepaired, people walking by will conclude that no one cares and no one is in charge. Soon, more windows will be broken, and the sense of anarchy will spread from the building to the street on which it faces, sending a signal that anything goes. In a city, relatively minor problems like graffiti, public disorder, and aggressive panhandling, they write, are all the equivalent of broken windows, invitations to more serious crimes. This is an epidemic theory of crime. It says that crime is contagious, that it can start with a broken window and spread to an entire community. The tipping point of this epidemic, though, isn't a particular kind of person, a connector or a maven. It's something physical like graffiti. The impetus to engage in a certain kind of behavior is coming from a feature of the environment. In the mid-1980s, Kelling was hired by the New York Transit Authority as a consultant, and he urged them to put the broken windows theory into practice. They obliged, bringing in a new subway director by the name of David Gunn to oversee a multi-billion-dollar rebuilding of the subway system. Many subway advocates at the time told Gunn not to worry about graffiti, to focus on the larger questions of crime and subway reliability, and it seemed like reasonable advice. But Gunn insisted. The graffiti was symbolic of the collapse of the system, he says. When you looked at the process of rebuilding the organization and morale, you had to win the battle against graffiti. We were about to put out new trains that were worth about $10 million apiece, and unless we did something to protect them, we knew just what would happen. They would last one day, and then they would be vandalized. He drew up a new management structure and a precise set of goals and timetables, aimed at cleaning the system line by line, train by train. He started with the number 7 train that connects Queens to Midtown Manhattan and began experimenting with new techniques to clean off the paint. On stainless steel cars, they used solvents. On the painted cars, they simply painted over the graffiti. Gunn made it a rule that there should be no retreat, that once a car was reclaimed, it should never be allowed to be vandalized again. At the end of the number 1 line in the Bronx, where the train stopped before turning around and going back to Manhattan, Gunn set up a cleaning station. If a car came in with graffiti, the graffiti had to be removed during the changeover, or the car was removed from service. The idea was to send an unambiguous message to the vandals themselves.